Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Claire Broadhurst. This week we'll be talking about a brand new French news outlet called Les Jours and coverage of the Donald Trump primary campaign in the United States. But first, we go to India, where press freedom is suffering blows. In the space of 2 weeks, two journalists have separately fled the district of Bastar in the central northeast state of Chhattisgarh, and lawyers defending jailed journalists were evicted from their offices. Sumit Galotra is the senior Asia researcher at the US-based Committee to Protect Journalists. He told me about the kinds of threats journalists are receiving in different parts of India.
There's the case of this freelance journalist by the name of Malini Subramaniam. She's been reporting in this area called Bastar for some time, and she's been doing wonderful reporting. She's one of the few journalists in India who's been reporting for the English language press, and has been filing wonderful reports on human rights abuses in the state. And for the last several weeks, she's been under immense pressure, and at the end, she was compelled to leave the state after her home was attacked. And local activists who described themselves as anti-Maoist chanted outside her house. They chanted slogans, labeling her as a Maoist. And at the end, the situation became so difficult for her. Members of her domestic help were being interrogated by the police. And it just, the atmosphere became so tense that she had to leave the state. And that's a particular concern because there are already very few journalists reporting in Chhattisgarh in these very remote districts. And so there's already an immense sense of pressure on the local journalists who live here. So Malini's exit from the state has just it raises concerns about an information vacuum in a state where there's already such little information.
Galotra says that although the specific cases in Chhattisgarh state have been brought to their attention, similar cases have been reported recently elsewhere in the country.
The targeting of journalists and the pressure that they're facing is happening in various parts of the country. It is very difficult to connect some of these dots. So what we're seeing is journalists, even in big cities like New Delhi, when they're covering political events, student protests, have been attacked by lawyers. But aside from that, even I think that in itself just tells you how concerning it is when journalists in big cities, journalists who belong to mainstream media outlets are coming under pressure. But I think the more disturbing situation that's happening is in some of the more remote areas in the country. The situation in the central state, it's called Chhattisgarh. The situation there for the last several weeks has been particularly dire. This state in India has been the scene of a low-intensity conflict for the past several years, and journalists operating in this region have been under pressure for some time. But we're seeing that pressure intensify deeply. We've seen journalists get hounded out of the state. We've seen lawyers who are even defending journalists who are imprisoned in the state also come under immense pressure and being forced to leave the state.
Over to the United States now, where Republican candidate Donald Trump seems to be grabbing the headlines every day. The billionaire-turned-politician recently claimed he wanted to sue newspapers for publishing what he terms purposely negative stories. U.S. media outlet Politico's Ben Schreckinger is one reporter who's found himself in Trump's line of fire.
It's troubling, you know, as a reporter that Donald Trump has personally insulted. He's personally tried to call into question the veracity of some of my reporting and called me dishonest. It's very troubling to have a billionaire say that he wants to weaken press freedoms that are sort of the fundamental basis of democracy in this country. It's a disturbing thing for him to say. It would undermine democracy. So yes, absolutely. If he were to be elected president, I would fear for the freedom of the press in this country.
Trump may not appreciate all the media attention that he's getting, but the press can't ignore him, nor, for that matter, the Democratic Party's candidate, Hillary Clinton, who has refrained from expressing her opinion about campaign coverage.
Trump is far and away the biggest story in the United States. I'd venture to say he's probably the biggest story in the world right now. So we cover him more than any other single figure. After that, we probably cover Hillary Clinton most. And after that, probably Bernie Sanders. The reason that we cover Trump and Clinton more than Sanders is that based on our understanding of the Democratic primary, we think that Hillary Clinton's much more likely to be the nominee and more likely to be president than either Sanders or Trump. So we end up devoting more resources to covering her and to covering Trump right now because he's such a big story.
What's most interesting, says the reporter, is the way the Trump campaign is covered by the candidate's fellow conservatives.
There's a news outlet here called Breitbart that's sort of a fringe right-wing news outlet that has been very pro-Trump, but but Trump's campaign manager allegedly assaulted or at least laid hands on a reporter from that outlet last week, and that's caused internally at this pro-Trump outlet a lot of problems. You've had a couple of reporters resign over the feeling that the outlet was taking the side of the Trump campaign in that incident over the side of their own reporter. You've had the National Review, which was founded by William F. Buckley, is considered sort of the father of modern American conservatism, come out very strongly against Trump. They've had an entire issue devoted to stopping Trump. You have Fox News, which is our right-wing cable news outlet, both feuding with Trump. Trump has at various times boycotted Fox News and boycotted one of their debates, while many of their personalities are pro-Trump.
And finally, let's have a look at a rising French news website called Les Jours, which means The Days, launched by several journalists who used to work for daily newspaper Libération. I spoke to Isabelle Roberts, one of the founders of Les Jours. She says they sought a way of writing stories with their own view of reporting.
The analysis on which Les Jours is based is that we are overused but underinformed. I mean that on the unstoppable flood of news, much of which readers can no longer absorb or comprehend, and so overwhelmed and suffocated, and as a consequence, ill-informed. On the internet, most of the medias address readers not as citizens to be informed, but mere conceived to be entertained. And we think that the problem has to do not only with a gigantic amount of news available, but with the low quality information glut is not a fate.
Roberts says that they aim to give stories the space they deserve for longer than usual on a website.
It implies not trying to be the one comprehensive publication, as it makes no sense online, because readers can browse hundreds of news websites. And for us, it also implies getting rid of beats, as online they make no sense. Since you are not constrained by pages, I mean beats are tailored for print.
Also, they wanted to develop a brand new way of telling the news. She explains what that means specifically with regard to Les Jours.
We have what we call obsessions. An obsession is a chosen, selected topic we deal with in depth and never drops. Obsessions are a prism reflecting all colors and angles, and we concentrate on certain topics to get to the bottom of things in order to explain deep-lying structure that shapes the world. It means offering a profound look by staying in the field when all the other journalists are gone, and it means long-term investigation, we hope, high-quality journalism. Not slow journalism, as Les Jours published fresh articles on a daily basis, but deep journalism.
She recognizes that there are high-quality news websites in France, such as Mediapart, to name just one. But Roberts and her peers say they have a different approach.
It's a mere clone of a print newspaper just put on the internet. But today we have to use all the tools, all the digital tools on the internet. We strongly believe we have to rethink how we present news and tell stories on the internet. Our storytelling, for instance, is based on television series, which means a structure, including episodes, narrative arcs, or cliffhangers, and even spin-offs. After all, serialized nonfiction has a long tradition in journalism, but serialized nonfiction in the internet means using the whole range of digital tools available.
That's Isabelle Roberts of the news website Les Jours, currently only available in French, bringing us to the end of this week's magazine. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for another edition of International Media on RFI.